Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live in 106.5 FM and firing the shots around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Here on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you joined us to discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we have got a great show coming up for you. But first, we want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, and Daphne's hottest new place for chow, the Waterfront Restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive. We don't want to forget the Medicare lady, Ms. Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, we want to thank all our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So join on in the discussion on Facebook for more information on the topics of the day. Of course, we are following events as they are playing out in the Middle East after the successful surprise attack on Iran by the U.S. and Israel. And tonight we are joined by retired Admiral Kent Davis, the CEO of Vets Recover, and Army veteran Troy Sirico, a frequent contributor to 1819 News Alabama. And we will speak with both of these heroes and get their opinions and insight into the now five-day war with the theocrat leaders of Iran. But first, I think it is important that we recognize that the events of the weekend are truly the culmination of 47 years of Islamic jihad that the Ayatollahs and Mullahs have been waging against the U.S. and Israel, and really Western civilization in general. So we wanted to provide a couple of minutes of background on exactly how we got here.
Most Americans don't realize this. Iran's war on the United States began decades ago. Not in 2001, not in 2023. It began in 1979. 52 Americans seized in Tehran, blindfolded, bound, held for 444 days while the world watched the United States humiliated on television. Families at home counting every sunrise without them. A nation asking, has America lost its strength? Then came January 20th, 1981. Ronald Reagan took the oath of office, and within hours, the hostages were released. No last-minute deal, no sudden diplomacy, only one change. Iran now believed America would act. But the attacks kept coming. 1983, U.S. Embassy in Beirut destroyed, 17 Americans dead. Months later, Marine barracks bombed, 241 U.S. Marines killed in their sleep, young men wearing our flag who never saw home again. the deadliest marine loss since Iwo Jima, and still, restraint. 1996, Khobar Towers, 19 Air Force personnel murdered, hundreds wounded, American families shattered again. History shows something hard but true. When America's enemies sense hesitation without consequence, they escalate. Not because they are stronger than us, but because they believe we will not act. Then came September 11th. 3,000 Americans murdered on our own soil. Firefighters, office workers, mothers, fathers, ordinary citizens who never came home. A nation forced awake to the price of lost deterrence. And in 2023, Iran-backed Hamas carried out the largest massacre of Jews since the Holocaust. The same terror network, the same ideology, the same sponsor. Americans need to understand this deeply. Peace is not preserved by words alone. It is preserved by strength enemies recognize. Deterrence works only when those who threaten America believe, without doubt, America will act. Because when the United States stands firm, terror retreats, allies stand taller, and freedom is safer. This is history. This is power. This is America.
So now let's turn to our guests to see what their opinions are and get a little insight on this unfolding events. But Admiral, if you will, give us a little short bio on your background there. And it's an extreme pleasure to have you on board with us tonight, sir. We're very proud to have you.
Well, thanks, Tom. It's always a pleasure with you. Can you hear me okay?
I've got a little rattling there on what that is, Admiral.
Okay, well, I'll try to overcome that.
Are you on some kind of speaker?
No, I'm on AirPods. Let me see if I can take you off of that.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it is. Let's try that now.
Is that any better?
That's better.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So it's funny. The last few days have been a little bit of deja vu. My first deployment aboard the battleship Missouri was way back in 1987 in the Persian Gulf, escorting tankers in and out of the Persian Gulf because of the Iran-Iraq war. Sound a little familiar?
Yes.
Back then of the Strait of Hormuz being shut down, gas prices going up, and things like that. So I've lived with conflicts in the Persian Gulf much of my adult life. Now, I will tell you this. My assessment is the last few days have proven one thing. It has once again shown just the excellence and supremacy of U.S. forces.
Amen.
It is just amazing. And the deficiencies in some of our potential adversaries' air defense systems. You know, the Iranians were using Soviet air defense systems that several times now have proven to be pretty inadequate when facing with American might. So it gives me great hope that our military capabilities are still supreme.
It's
just superb in all respects. Today, there was a little bit of naval history. I think you probably saw in the news the first sinking of a ship by an American submarine since World War II.
Mercy.
And the first sinking of any ship by a submarine since the British did it during the Falklands War when they sank the Argentinian ship, the General Belgrano. Pretty incredible turn in naval history. It sounds like it was done using a Mark 48 torpedo, which I don't think has ever been used in combat before, and it proved the technical capabilities of that weapon system, if nothing else. Very interesting turn of events today with that in naval history.
Well, it's extremely satisfying to see that they have decimated the Iranian Navy per se, that they really don't have anything left.
And we did this once before, actually, back in the late 1980s. We took on the Iranian Navy and took out much of the Iranian Navy back then when the Iranians were putting mines into the Persian Gulf and endangering shipping and actually hit some American ships back then. So this is, again, history repeating itself a little bit. We took on the Iranian Navy and decimated it back in the late 1980s. and it looks like we're doing it again. They really don't have much of a Navy left after the last few days.
Well, that's just really neat to see that occurring there. We got a hard break coming up here, but we'll get through this break, and when we come back, we'll also introduce our brother warriors on board here with us, Troy Carrico, retired Army combat veteran, highly decorated officer, and a thorough leader. But Admiral, appreciate you taking the time. I know you've probably done 100 interviews here in the last week.
Oh, no, it's always my pleasure, Tom, especially for a Marine.
All right. Thank you, sir. We always enjoy having an Admiral on board. We'll be right back.
Claxton and Cal Walters, radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and Fire the Shots heard around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. If you'd like to listen on demand, you can also catch us on FM Talk 106.5 app for your smartphone. And if I want to get your blood pressure up real good, you can catch my tirades on castbox.fm. And again, we are speaking with Admiral Kent Davis and our Army veteran, Troy Carrico. Troy, I'm sure that I didn't pronounce that right.
You know what? Call me whatever you want, Tom. Just don't call me late for dinner. It's Carrico.
Don't call you late for dinner and payday.
That's right, brother. That's right. It's Carrico like Jericho, but with a C.
Carrico. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. And hey, I just want to say something to you guys. Anybody that uses the Doors and Jim Morrison and Apocalypse Now for their bumper music is okay by me.
It's okay by you, brother.
That's all right. That's right, brother.
We've got some other interesting items that'll pop up in here after a while as well. You know, you never know what a couple old jarheads are going to do, sir.
Well, you crayon eaters, I understand how you guys operate.
Okay? You know, I got a full case of them for supplies in case we had problems.
I know you do.
Yeah. But what do you think about everything's going on there? Give us a little background there, Troy.
So I've done three different shows before this, been called in. So you know, so your listeners know, Army, I'm an Army major. I was a major, but 101st Airborne, 173rd Airborne, 75th Ranger Regiment, 2nd Battalion, 2nd Bat-Ua. And here's the thing. I got branch detailed into tactical human intelligence with DIA. I have spent a lot of time in the Gulf Arab region. I have broke bread with many people from Kamad to Saudi, which is the Kuwaiti Ministry of Defense. I understand what's going on when it comes to the power equation of the Arab and the Persian. I can tell you this: this was premeditated. This was planned months ago. You know that Quantico meeting? You remember that Quantico meeting, Tom?
Right. Right.
What, 6 months ago?
It's about six
this
months
was
ago.
What this was about. This is what this was about, brother.
Okay.
This was, you better pony up. We are nation destroyers, not nation builders. The days of provincial reconstruction teams and all that crap is over. We are going to find, fix, and destroy the enemy and put steel on target. And what's going on right now is a shaping operation. The same thing with Venezuela. We took care of our backyard because people don't realize there are more mosques in South America than anywhere outside of Indonesia in the Middle East.
Oh, my Lord.
That was by design. That was by design. And I worked counterintelligence. I know for a fact what's going on down there. So we cut them out. We take the soft power of the Chinese and their Belt and Road Initiative. We kick them out of Panama. Colombia's next, Cuba's next in our backyard, and then go forward to the most powerful platform of anti-American resistance. That is Iran, and I can tell you, we've cured about 70% of the problems in the world by taking out this regime. And what does that tell you? China is, we have them in our sights. This is about China.
Right,
all of this
right.
is about negating China.
Well, you know, Troy, I was just looking at the broader picture, you know, when he started with the Venezuela thing, and he squared that area away. And, you know, and then so by doing that and now coming into Iran, he has weakened the two largest problems we thought we would have and people that were going to come in and decimate us and cause us to have World War III, and that's China and Russia. So now the war that I see that Russia's got with Ukraine, is this just totally destroying Russia's country and it's all of its army? I don't know how many thousands and thousands of soldiers that have been, they're pulling vehicles out of retirement to put in there. So what the heck are they going to do? And now they're having trouble for oil. And then where's China going to get their oil? You know, so now Cuba's calling us wanting to talk. I mean, what are we talking about here? I think it's the whole picture.
1939, Dutch East Indies.
Right.
Let's rewind.
Right.
Japan. We strangled out the supply from the Dutch East Indies, the British, the Dutch, the French, and the Americans. We cut off Japan, the island nation's supply,
right.
and they went to war. We're doing slowly the same thing to China.
Right.
Put up or shut up. And let's be honest, Tom, Russia has been exposed as a fraud.
It has.
Their air defense, their Triumph S-400, their Triumph S-300 is garbage. It cannot stop us. They can't get out of their own way. Here's the deal. There's a new Pax Americana on the horizon. I'll say it again. A new Pax Americana, like Pax Britannica, Pax Romana. There is a new imperial dynasty in front of us. And what a great thing it could be with Christendom, with great things going forward for Western Greco-Roman culture. It's time to put to bed all of these villains that have been out there that are weak,
right,
weak liberal
right,
left
right.
cannot figure out.
Right, and it's just and then we still have that faction within America that they want to get out on the streets and wave their little flags and all that, you know, and it's our younger generation I see doing that, and because we no longer teach history. They no longer have any idea how we got here. They don't realize we've lost 1,700,000 veterans for trying to protect this country since it started in 1776. And they have no idea how many hundreds of thousands of our veterans have been wounded, decimated, and how many are still committing suicide. But, you know, they want us to protect the Palestinians and Iranians. Cool.
You know, Tom, you're spot on. The question is, you remember civics, Tom? You remember you had a civics class
right.
in high school?
Yeah, right.
I did too, brother. I did too. I know the Admiral did, and I know that Cal did. They don't teach civics anymore.
No.
The truth of the matter is we've been infiltrated. We have zips inside the wire. We've got insurgents inside the wire. If you read my works at 1819, I talk extensively about the rot that is going on in our country. But we have a leader in Donald J. Trump that is trying to wrestle it back, and we need to support him.
I thought it was really a cool move when they talked about going in there, and then and they didn't say that they weren't and what time they were going, but the Iranians got scared, and they started moving money around. They started moving troops around. They started moving people and trying to secure their leaders. And then we just sat and waited to see where they all landed, and then we attacked, and we didn't tell them it was coming.
I can tell you something, Tom. I can tell you something. I worked in the intelligence community, and the Admiral knows this. Our abilities with electro-optics, with Elint, with Mazent measurements and signatures. We are an unparalleled force of power that can find. And then you add the Israelis to the mix. There's nothing that could stand before us unless God wills it otherwise.
Amen. Amen. And yeah, I totally believe that.
Troy, you brought up a good point. The behind-the-scenes work that's been happening for a long time on this operation would be mind-boggling to people. The operation started long before the bombs were dropped, the missiles were firing. It started in the cyber arena, in the intel arena. This has been going on for a very long time. And I got to tell you, this makes me proud that our capabilities are still way above our adversaries.
Amen. Sure.
Both Venezuela, that operation, and this just shows the capabilities in all of those arenas. It is a multi-domain operation, purely joint operations. Now, I got to say, largely spearheaded by the Navy and Air Force. We haven't injected ground troops yet, but
that's okay. Wait, but the troops are standing by.
I'm joking. That's inter-service rivalry, gentlemen. Go on.
Troy, are you trying to say that the Army actually does something besides relieve the Marines?
Okay, I'll shut up. I got a Marine and a Navy guy in front of me. All right.
Hey, look, you know, Navy and Marine Corps got to stick together. We don't have any other damn transportation.
That's right. Yeah, we're good for a ride.
Hey, best damn Uber drivers we ever had.
Well, speaking of rides, another of my old ships, the USS Abraham Lincoln, is over there. It's one of the two carriers,
yeah.
I'm telling you. Yep. Those are still incredibly capable platforms when you're carrying around upwards of 100 aircraft on board. That's larger than the air forces of most nations on Earth.
Yeah. Well, there's so many areas, additional areas here that we'll be able to get into here for the other half of our show, but we are going to have to stop, take a break, and promote some of our sponsors and to get the latest news here on our show. But it won't be that long, and we'll be able to get right back to these two awesome gentlemen. And again, we're just so dang proud to have you. You guys are heroes to us, man. You know, because we couldn't do without any Army. You know, because if we didn't have the Army, we couldn't get relieved when we got ready to, you know, go on R&R. And we couldn't have got there if it hadn't been for the Navy. So what can I say? We'll be right back.
Tom Claxton, just remember Huey. Remember the Battle of Huey. Who got your butt out of there?
Bless you, brother. We'll be right back. Just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret.
Parker, break off. Check your shrimp set. Check your nose roof bearing on maneuver. Dive and Drago, a low transition. Right turn out. 83. Dive and out there on 16. Let's run them up.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we certainly want to thank the folks that helped make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, and all the folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ms. Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, Daphne's Jewish Eatery, the waterfront restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Charlie Wilson Agency, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And again, we are privileged to be joined on SBN tonight by Admiral Kent Davis and Army veteran Troy Carrico. Gentlemen, thank you again for joining us, and thank you for your service. And I just wanted to put in there, I do believe that we've had some Marine aviators that have been in the fight thus far from some of the things I've been hearing.
Yeah, not unusual at all. In fact, the aircraft carriers usually have at least one squadron of Marine F-18s on board, mainly to provide support to ground troops, but not always the case. They're trained as naval aviators, and they take part in all the multi-domain operations.
You know, and Admiral, I tell you, I just had to pacify Troy there a little bit by playing the Battle of the Green Berets for him, you know, to just calm him down a little bit.
Well, most people don't know this, but I actually did one tour in the Army as well in my 31 years.
I knew there was something wrong with you.
Yeah.
I wanted to say he's a turncoat.
He's a turncoat. Oh, okay. I'll tell you what, he's a hell of a gentleman and a great admiral. We're proud to have him in the Mobile area.
Yeah, Troy, we call
him better. Not a better man is there than Admiral Kent Davis.
Amen, brother. Amen.
He was there when I needed him. And I'm there now for him as we continue our fight for veterans in Alabama.
And both of you are doing an awesome job. Troy, I know that the Admiral was had a little bit of input there. Do you want to go ahead with your side of it?
So what I'm thinking is this, gentlemen. What we have in front of us is a shaping operation. This is nothing more than finding, fixing the enemy. Now we destroy them. Because here's the deal. This plan, like Project 2025 with Donald Trump, when he got the inauguration, he knew what he needed to do hitting the ground. Same thing with Pete Hegseth in the Department of War, the Quantico meeting. We are shaping the operations of the world. Why are we doing that? Because we've had a negligent command and control structure before that between Biden and Obama. We have to correct the wrongs that have been done.
Yes.
And there's a lot ahead of us, a lot ahead of us. So I would say this. I know this for a fact. Our troops are ready to go. They're ready to fight. They're fit to fight. The Army physical fitness test has changed to combat operations. The Navy is changing their thing. We have good guidance now, finally, in front of us. I'll say it one time. We are not nation builders. We are nation destroyers. That's our mission set, and we're getting back to the basics, guys.
Well,
hey, Troy,
go ahead.
Let me add
to
that. I'm so glad you talked about the quality of the troops. And Tom, you may have experienced this during Mardi Gras when the USS Farragut was in port.
Yes, sir.
In Mobile. I interacted with a lot of those sailors, and I'm telling you, I was so impressed with them. Their technical knowledge, just their professionalism, it really heartened me to meet those sailors and think, wow, we're in good hands in our military these days. And I see it in all the services, Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Space Force, Coast Guard there in Mobile, the Coast Guardsmen that I encounter, just top notch. I agree with Troy. We had slipped a little bit.
We had. We'd failed. We didn't slip, Admiral. We fell back.
We had, and I think we're getting back in full form.
Yes, we are.
And I think these operations recently have shown that.
Well, our troops have pride now. They have.
They do.
They feel like they're being respected, and they're not being run over like they have been over the previous years.
Yeah. Hey, one little side note. It's interesting. The operation in Iran knocked something else out of the news that's completely fallen out of the news. Basically, Afghanistan and Pakistan are at war with each other right next door now.
I saw that.
Falling
yes.
out of the news.
And
yeah, it's interesting.
What do you guys feel about that? Where do you think we're at with that?
Well, what's funny about that, Tom, is that Pakistan is the primary patron of the Taliban. Okay,
yep.
When I was over there, the Pashtun and Dari, and you know this, Admiral, you've been there. This is their own making, and now they sure. have a. They have a dog that does not heal to commands, and it'll work itself out. You know what? Whenever we say Afghanistan, I get sick to my stomach with what happened on the pullout of that.
Amen.
An embarrassment of the highest – of the highest degree that set the standard for the rest of the world to think America is has been been neutered, has been gelded.
They considered us a bunch of wussies, Troy. They considered us a bunch of damn wussies, okay?
Crucified is what I'll call it, yeah.
Well, by God, we're not that way. You know, we just needed some support from upstairs in the White House. And now that we have it, I think our troops are going to come back, 110% or better.
Amen.
And whatever they're presented with as far as what they need to do, I think they're going to be doing it tenfold.
Yeah, Tom, Amen. You know, if I can make an analogy.
Sure, go ahead.
You know, when Saigon fell and so many Vietnam veterans felt disheartened, and then when we got our pride back and we saw operations like Desert Storm that were so successful, pride back in veterans and military. Put the politics aside completely. It's almost that way. I served in Afghanistan for most of 2012, and when Afghanistan fell to the Taliban, I tell you what, it was depressing.
Yes.
And I thought, this is how far we've fallen already.
Right.
And then
right.
when I saw the decline in our forces, if nothing else, when you see the operations that have happened lately, you think, wow, we're back.
Right. We're back.
We're doing well again. Troops are doing well. We're taking care of them. Our capabilities are strong again.
Well.
I would like to piggyback off what the Admiral said. So where do we go from here? What does the future look like? I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks to me, from all my nuances, that A, we have a volunteer fighting force. We will see more people joining. Here's the deal. We have been relegated only by the limitations of our leadership. We have warriors with their fangs out. We have submarine commanders with their fangs out, ready to go. We have Air Force. Well, I want to say something, though. When you say, I'm glad to see the force back reconstituted, I watched, and I'm not going to say where, but it's on the Gulf Coast, so you can pick amongst the Air Force bases, on a Friday, Ultimate Frisbee being played for PT, physical training. That's a problem. They should be doing pull-ups. They should be doing push-ups.
Right.
They should do sit-ups. They're out there. But listen, they have changed the dynamics for all the services about the physical fitness test. We have a fit-to-fight force that can project power anywhere in the world. Here's the thing you need to look for. What's going to be next? Our opponents, our near-peer adversaries, China, Russia, North Korea, are looking at this and going, oh my, we cannot line up and go head-to-head conventional with them.
No,
they
cannot.
Will decimate us in a matter of... So what does that mean, Tom? What does that mean, Cal? What does that mean, Admiral? It means hybrid asymmetric warfare is the only thing that they can do to us, which is, like you said, cyber hits, all these things that are going to happen. Listen, right now Putin is planning to send hundreds of thousands of veterans from the Russian-Ukraine war into Europe to try to cause mischief. And that's the truth. And I want to say something to you. China will not attack Taiwan. Do you know where they're going to attack at? Kamchatka on the Siberian Peninsula, where there's fresh water, there's resources, there's minerals. They're not going to go take that. The only thing they could do is project into Russia that is weakened. All their forces have been pulled out. Mark my words, there will be a changing of the guard, and it will not involve Taiwan.
Well, there's nothing there in Taiwan except maybe pride.
Yeah. Reunification.
Right. Reunification. They have no minerals. I mean, come on. They're going after the big guns, like Troy says. So we're going to take this hard break, guys. And on the other side of this break, we'll come back to you gentlemen, and appreciate you being on board with us tonight. God bless you both.
Great. Thanks, Tom.
I must master my life. Without being Without my rifle, I am useless.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and streaming on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And you're on board with Tom Claxton, Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And again, we're joined by a couple of heroes here on SBN, Admiral Kent Davis and Army veteran Troy Carrico. And, you know, guys, the way things are going, it looks like the biggest thing we're going to have to worry about geopolitically is Canada.
Well, yeah, you're right. You know, it's most of our allies have supported us on this. We've talked a lot about the successes of the operation. I think we do need to be realistic and talk about some of the dangers going forward. And Troy and I have talked about this danger. We have let so many people into this country over the past few years without vetting them.
Amen.
There's a legitimate concern about sleeper cells in this country now. We do have to be worried about that. Let's hope that our brothers and sisters in Homeland Security are monitoring that and taking care of that potential threat.
Well, and it was really neat, Admiral. I saw a little blip the other day. Said that, you know, we had 15 million Americans shouldered their weapons and went hunting this past end of the year. And we didn't have the first death from that, and nobody shot anybody else and all. But we were practicing, and we were making sure that our guns were well lubricated and our powder was dry. So, you know, we are going to have problems, but we'll handle them as they come up.
Right. And well, Dick Cheney and Tim Walz weren't out there.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Troy.
I'd like to address the sleeper cell comments.
Go ahead.
And, Admiral, you're correct, but if you think that for a moment, I worked in counterintelligence, if you think for a moment there were sleeper cells here and they didn't preemptively launch or they haven't launched, it's because they can't launch. It's because we've done a good job keeping it down. What I will tell you is this. You're going to get a lot of lone wolves. You're going to get a lot of internet-inspired insurgents. But I got news for you. That's not the problem we have inside our republic. What we have is a compromised education system.
Amen.
With feeding Marxist socialist garbage down our children. So, and you're right, Tom, you said it earlier. I look at those people that are out there protesting for Palestine that are gay and marshmallow, what I call marshmallow people,
yes,
that look like they're the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Right.
They would kill you over there if you were over there.
Amen.
Why are you... It's just, it sickens me, because here's the thing. We've become a secular nation. We've turned our back on Christianity and evangelical Christendom. We got to get back to the roots. And
we
that's
have.
Where we are lax.
We're lax there, but I feel like we're coming back, Troy. As an old jarhead here, I see a lot of our youth now, especially in our sports, and a lot of our young people are really coming back to Christianity and all, and I think that's so great for our country, and I think it's going to be the lifeblood of our country.
I would agree with Tom, you, and Charlie Kirk was an impetus.
Can we need to clone him?
Hey, Tom, I agree with both of you. I think things are turning for the better in this country internally. I think we reached a turning point.
I think so.
A lot of people just got fed up.
We did. You know, we saw all we wanted to see, Admiral.
Absolutely. And I do think our brothers and sisters in Homeland Security are taking care of us domestically from the lone wolf attacks and the possibility of sleeper cells. It is a danger. We need to be cognizant of it and concerned, but I think they're doing a good job, and I think the American public, like you said, would take care of the problem, too.
Yes, and we're prepared.
Another question that's legitimate is, where do we go from here over there in the Middle East? We hope and pray that the Iranian people take charge of their own country.
Yes.
And say, okay, it's time to go forward in the future with a different scheme completely and be good neighbors in the world. I think we learned a valuable lesson in Iraq And Troy, you hit upon it. We don't want to get involved in nation building again.
No, no.
Well, sir, I have to tell you, I agree. I know for a fact that through agencies, and I'm not going to divulge, but CIA, DIA, NSA, there have been weapon drops to the northwest and to the northwest and to the northeast, to the Baluchis and to the Kurds, to
the
make
Kurds,
sure
yeah.
that regionally they can. Here's the deal: the way you take out the theocracy is you do regional jumps, just like the island jumping we did during the Pacific War and World War II. We have to move from one place to another, and they're going to come down from the areas that are not Shia and move into that area. Mark my words, in 3 weeks, there will be peace in Iran. It's just we have knocked out the command and control, the C4SI. That means command, communication, intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, and now the people, if they're armed, can take over their country again.
Well, and that's what we need, because they have been unarmed, and they took all their weapons away from them, and they've seen enough slaughter in the streets. I mean, but from their leaders, I mean, they killed 40,000 something people here in the last month or so.
They said 50,000, 55,000 by UN estimates, dead.
Damn.
That doesn't mean wounded. Dead.
Hell, you'd have to bury those people with bulldozers. You know, that many people.
Yeah, and you hope that the rest of the Iranian public will just say enough and take matters into their own hands.
We'll still have our radical factions there. But,
of course.
Yeah, but if we can cut the legs off of them like they're doing now, then they won't have the strength and the backbones to be able to do it, to come in there and take care of it. And I think that the good people of Iran will step up.
Yeah,
Tom, you make a good point. You make a good point, both of you. This only succeeds if we get rid of the Islamic jihadist movement.
Right, right.
So this is an interesting fact for you guys. Of all the mosques in Iran, 80% is estimated to be closed because there's not many religious factions there. Here's the deal. 5 to 10% of the country of Iran, of the Republic of Persia, has Shia influence. But they've dominated 90 to 80% of the country, and most people do not attend any services. You have Zoroastrianism. You've got Byzantine Christian. You have Coptic Christian. You have all of these diverse groups. And, Admiral, we've talked about this ad nauseum. It was a Western country prior to the Islamic Revolution. And let's be honest, that started from the Muslim Brotherhood, a Sunni sect that came out, and when Anwar Sadat and all that stuff happened in 1969, they imported all that. And I'll say it again, until Islam can police itself, we have to police it for them.
Right. We've got to do that. You know, because it's because there's, 5 to 7 to 8% of radicals are controlling this complete scenario there.
Yeah, and listen, there have been golden ages in Islam when Islam was making advances in science, technology, and had their act together. Something happened in the Islamic world. Fundamentally, and Troy, you hit on some of the more recent changes, but they need to get back to some of their golden age ideas.
Yes. Well, you know what's funny about that, Admiral? Admiral, the Persians had the numerical system. We refer to it today as what? The Arabic numeral system we use. The Arabs stole it from the Persians. So there is a very, very diverse group. Yeah, you're right. There's a very diverse, scientifically advanced group. But the question is, gentlemen, will they rise up?
Amen.
Will they seize this moment? That's the question.
Amen.
Well,
God bless both of you guys. It's been a pleasure having you on board here.
Thanks so much, Tom. Always a pleasure on our side.
All right. We'll keep you guys on the line. Go ahead,
Cole. I'm blessed to be with some crayon eaters.
That's all right, brother.
And a Navy Admiral. That's all
I know it. We got tired of messing around outside the line, so we just ate the suckers.
I want to say something. Hey, South Alabama Veterans Council, you guys rock down that way.
All right.
You are the forefront of Alabama veterans.
Thank you, sir. We just a bunch of country boys trying to do it right.
Yep.
Have a blessed one, guys. We appreciate you being on board with us tonight. Cal, well, you've got some information there as far as the our fallen service members. I think we have about a minute left or so.
Yeah, we got about a minute and a half, Tom, but I did want to take some time. You know, we always open this show with the national anthem, and we close it with Taps. And unfortunately, with all of our preparation, we have lost some of our service members because of the ballistic missile attacks from Iran. And so I'd just like to do is just dedicate Taps to our fallen service members that we know so far. Sergeant First Class Noah Tijans of Bellevue, Nebraska. Sergeant First Class Nicole Amore of White Bear Lake, Minnesota. Captain Cody Cork, 35, of Lakeland, Florida. And Sergeant Declan Cody, 20, of Des Moines, Iowa. Of course, we do know there are two additional soldiers that were killed in the attack that have not yet been publicly identified. And obviously, we will recognize them. I know there is they have to notify the next of kin before they can release those. And that will certainly be a very heartfelt return to Dover when that is possible. But we do want to dedicate Taps to our fallen brothers and sisters. So this is for all of you. You are not forgotten.
Amen. And hero is not a four-letter word. Hoorah!